This is Cliff Jensen, Mr. Fahrenheit, the fourth time. You're listening to the Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Cliff here, as you heard in the intro, Mr. Fahrenheit. Welcome on in, trickle into the arena. Week 7 is in the books. A lot of storylines. Obviously, the NFL is in a weird state right now where a lot of backup quarterbacks were playing this week. More than we thought, to be honest. And, you know, even a couple teams on bye. You know, Zach Wilson's considered a backup quarterback, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers going down. But this week we had multiple teams facing each other with backup quarterbacks. And not only does it kind of make the NFL product itself kind of strange, it also affects fantasy football big time. You had the Bears and the Raiders both putting out backup quarterbacks. You had an absolute shootout with the Colts and Browns, backup quarterbacks. If you didn't see that game, hear that game, anything about that game, it was unbelievable. The Browns defense is considered to be one of the top probably three defenses in the league. They turn the ball over, they score on defense, and that's what they did this week. But oh, by the way, they also decided to give up like over 500 yards of offense to Gardner Minshew, who is going to be the quarterback for the duration of the year for the Colts. Deshaun Watson got knocked out of this game, apparently was cleared to come back in, but the coaching staff didn't want to risk anything, so they left P.J. Walker out there for the Browns. But just an absolute shootout on the 1 p.m. game. So many points, over 70 points those two teams put up. So, you know, that was good for fantasy. And then on the contrary, you had, you know, the Raiders and Bears both trotting out backup quarterbacks. And, you know, it was interesting, to say the least. This kid for the Bears, what's his name, Badgett, comes in. Now, remember, before the last 2 weeks of Justin Fields getting a couple wins here, he was on like a 14-game losing streak. This kid, Badgett, never heard of her, comes in and gets a win at home. They were on a home losing streak of 10 games. And this kid, a Division II school quarterback, I've never heard of him, comes in, gets the Bears a win at home. And it's just crazy to see. Colin Cowherd was talking about how with Justin Fields, it's such a roller coaster. It's like, in his good games, in his rare wins, it's like, oh my gosh, 400 yards of offense, 2 rushing touchdowns. He's, you know, diving all over the place, sliding all over the place. And then in his losses, it's like, this guy stinks. He can't make a read. All he can do is run. He gets sacked 15 times. And it's like, this kid Badgett comes in, you know, on short notice, puts up the most boring win in the Bears history, or at least in the last 2 years, I should say. And it worked. So it was against the Raiders. Take it for what it is. And, you know, Raiders didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo out there. They had Brian Hoyer, who definitely looks his age. I think he's 39, 40 years old. And he was able to sustain some fantasy value for Jakobi Meyers, but Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs didn't have good games out there. A lot of it was Davante Adams' fault, drops a touchdown. You know, we'll get to the studs and duds here soon, but this was the week of the bye Natos. 6 teams were on bye, and just the backup quarterbacks playing, a lot of backups, and also some potential fraud alerts with the Dolphins and the Bills and the Chargers. And we have to have a conversation. What do you guys think is worst? The Bills only beat good teams, it seems like. They can't beat crappy teams. They've already lost to the Jets, who lost Aaron Rodgers that game. in the beginning of the year, and now they've lost to the Patriots. Is that worse, or is it worse to pound on crappy teams like the Dolphins do, but they can't beat good teams? They have now lost to the Eagles. They have now lost to the Bills. So if you're going to make the playoffs, like we still think the Bills and Dolphins will most likely make the playoffs, what would you rather have? Because I think the Bills can still go out there and win games against the good teams, because that's what they've shown us. But the Dolphins, you know, if they have a second round matchup against, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, they're probably toast. I mean, what are we looking at here? Their offense just doesn't look as good as the weather's getting colder. And it's interesting, you know, when the wind starts blowing and, you know, field goal kicks aren't as easy and you can't throw, you know, for 500 yards. It's going to be interesting to see what they change as far as the offense goes for the Dolphins. So I just was curious, like, what do you guys think is worse, you know, pounding on crappy teams and losing to the good teams, or vice versa? So those are two potential fraud teams that we're looking at here. And the Chargers, I just don't know. I mean, they have two wins this year, and Justin Herbert's doing everything he possibly can for that team, but that roster is one of the just craziest paper rosters I've ever seen. From head to toe, defense, offense, it's loaded with good players, and I guess it comes down to coaching. Brandon Staley, he's definitely on the hot seat, made some, you know, crazy calls. He goes for it on fourth down, like in you know, their own zones, and it barely works and puts his team in positions where they just can't come back. And again, if we're agreeing that the roster is pretty good, at least on paper, why isn't it being converted to wins on the field? And I don't think it's Justin Herbert's fault. They lost to the Chiefs this week. Obviously, Mahomes had himself a great game. We'll get into that in the studs and duds, which I think we will start right now. I was humming and hawing all week about the matchup of the week. Obviously, I had a lot of implications, me going against Alicia. There was other matchups to consider. Now, I get what's going on in this league. I got you guys pegged. You top teams, you undefeated teams, Maddie, you 5-1 teams, 6-1 teams, Josh, I get it. You're flying under the radar, okay? That's why you're not talking about your teams. You just want to get your wins, make the playoffs. Maybe you're a little superstitious. Well, guess what? It's the opposite for me. When you're 0-6, it is the opposite. Talk about my team. Let's talk it up. Let's get to the matchup of the week. Without any further ado. If you guys want storylines, I'm going to give them to you. I don't believe anyone in our league has ever started 0-6, let alone 0-7, let alone the reigning, defending Marvel Fantasy Football champion starting 0-7, going up against Alicia, who is also having a tough year at 1-6, at 1-5. This is a masterclass when it comes to the Build-A-Bear Bowl. These matchups matter when you're going against another bottom team in a must-win situation. Let's take a look. Wah! We begin at Stony Hill Drive. Mr. Faraday, take it on. Unleash the beast. Let's go. 142 to 134. Your boy, Mr. Fahrenheit, finally off the schneid in an unbelievable, stressful, I was shaking on the couch last night when, what's his name? I have to look. Brandon Powell. Woo! Last night, had 0 points. I needed 0.8 points. For all you folks at home, that's one catch for 3 yards is all I needed. And he goosed me in the first half. I was texting Joe Chick. I said, now I know how you feel last year. Joe Chick started off 0-5 last year, I believe. This was nerve-wracking. I said, I'm done. Go Niners, I'm going to bed. I woke up at about 1 a.m. I said, I have to check. And boy, oh boy. 8 fantasy points for Brandon Powell. Gets it done last night. But let's take a look at my stud. You could go any type of direction here. Some would say my kicker, but I'm not going there. Welcome to the league, Jahmyr Gibbs. It's about time. They unleashed him. The Lions did not do very well. They are also on fraud alert, by the way. But Jahmyr Gibbs, 68 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Some would say in garbage time. But how about this? 9 catches for 58 yards. That's that Alvin Kamara usage. That he was supposed to inherit that type of role with the Lions. As far as my dud goes, nobody really killed me. Last night definitely made me nervous with Brian Powell, but he got me 8.9 fantasy points. I subbed him in for Juwan Jennings last second. I did some extensive research, and he was playing a lot more snaps than Juwan Jennings, and I thought the Vikings were going to be in a trailing situation. And it wasn't going that way. The Vikings were leading most of the first half and running the ball. Jordan Addison had himself a game, and he had 2 huge touchdowns. So they were, you know, Addison made sure those Vikings drives were done. And Brandon Powell just wasn't seeing the ball. But he ended up getting it. So the math did check out on that. And I believe he had a better game than Juwan Jennings. I have not looked. But it worked out in my favor. So I'm going no dud here. I had a good week. However, can you believe I put up 142 points with only 3 touchdowns? I'm still not getting touchdowns. Moving on to Alicia's team, sporting 7 touchdowns. She had herself a monster week. I don't know who to choose here. Lamar Jackson, 33 fantasy points. Travis Kelce, almost a career day if you can believe it. Because Taylor Swift was there, 29.9 fantasy points. From the tight end position. So those are the 2 studs on your team. As far as duds go, we have to look at, Christian Watson. I know he was your dud last week, but Christian Watson got banged up towards the end of the Packers game. Wasn't doing much. He was actually giving me a ton of hope in our matchup because I saw he just wasn't involved. But the Packers look broken. Looks like moving on to Jordan Love might have been a mistake. It should have paid Aaron Rodgers just a couple more years. But, you know, who knows what would have happened if Aaron Rodgers stayed around. Young receiving core, including Christian Watson, not getting it done. 4 fantasy points on the day. But nonetheless, Alicia takes the loss here. I finally get a win. I move to 1-6 on the year, as well as Alicia. And this is huge for the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Even in a loss, we both made out here because putting up this many points, by far the highest scoring teams in the league, we are separating ourselves from Jason, who is also going to be 1-6, and he's not scoring points like this. So Build-A-Bear Bowl is heating up. I go from the 12th spot to the 10th. Alicia is going to be right there at 11th. And now Jason is in line to take that bear out to lunch. Good matchup. All right, our next matchup. Now, before we get to the next matchup, this last place punishment, again, I was talking with Joe Chick. This last place punishment changes everything. I want to just be done with this league. But I'm, as the commissioner, we have a league where we have this podcast. We have a last place punishment. In my 6 leagues, it's the only league we have a legit last place punishment. It's like, I can't just be done with this league. I can't just put all my focus on my other 5 leagues. I'm doing pretty well in those. I have to actually double down and put all my effort into this league where I was 0-6. So I'm happy to get the win, but I'm like researching and doing all this extra stuff on Brandon Powell, a guy we've never heard of. just so I don't have to take a teddy bear out to lunch. It's insane. I don't want to spend all my time on this league. But here we are. The storylines continue. And that's why the power of the last place punishment keeps the league going. So let's see if we could actually have somebody do the punishment so we can continue this. It's unbelievable. The stress I was dealing with last night as a 0-6 team, I can't get over. It's a feeling like no other. Only some of you have felt before. But it's real. So moving on to the next matchup, it's going to be the Zin Crusaders taking on the aforementioned Sweet Chick Music, Joe Chick. And the Zin Crusaders squeaks out a win, 93-88. A lot of low-scoring games this week. Apparently, Alicia and I had all the good players, but let's take a look here. Nonetheless, Rochi gets the win. As far as his stud goes, how about it's good to see James Cook back in a feature role here. 17.7 fantasy points, 56 yards on the ground, but got a lot of work done through the air, including a receiving touchdown. He had 3 catches for 46 yards. So it's weird that the Bills even lost, because if you told me that James Cook was going to score a receiving touchdown and be pretty potent in that offense, you know, Stephon Diggs had a good game, Dalton Kincaid had a good game. It's like, how do you tell me at the end of that that the Bills don't blow out the Patriots like they usually do? And they just didn't. Gabe Davis was a no-show. We'll get to some more of the duds later on. But James Cook looking good. He had a down week last week. He's back, and he is now the running back 15 on the season. As far as your dud goes, I'm going Tyler Lockett in a game where DK Metcalf missed 4 receptions for 38 yards. Not going to get it done. He was overshadowed by Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That was his breakout party. And we'll see if maybe this is that changing of the guard a little bit. The older Tyler Lockett, still talented, but now the young rookie coming in from Ohio State, just a premier pass catcher. We were wondering when and why Jaxon Smith-Njigba wasn't getting involved. They spent a high draft capital pick on him, and it looked like if DK Metcalf comes back, you tell me, I think they maybe shift to going to DK and JSN a little bit more than Tyler Lockett. Maybe Tyler Lockett's just more of the deep threat moving forward. Going on to Sweet Chick Music. Just riddled with injuries and bye weeks here for Chick. Not much he could do. He put the team out there. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, 33 fantasy points. He made it interesting. 424 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's the Patrick Mahomes we know. Moving up to the quarterback 3 on the season. You expect that to keep going higher and higher, especially as, you know, guys like Tua have dud games here and there. You know, a dud game for Mahomes, you know, it's not like he's ever going to go out there and get you 10 points. So I know we were concerned about some of the performances. Like last week, he only put up 17 points in the win against Denver. But this week, he really shows you why having a stable quarterback in fantasy can really help boost your numbers. As far as your dud goes, man, we could go several different directions, but I know how pissed off he is with Calvin Ridley. Again, there's other guys in consideration. He started Kadarius Toney, 1 fantasy point. Jameson Williams from the Detroit Lions, 0. Gustum, Patterson, the kicker, 0. Just a terrible game for the Lions, but again, he gets the benefit of the doubt for those starts because of all the injuries and bye weeks. If you look at his bench, he had no one. So a guy that you need to depend on, Calvin Ridley, who had 1 good week this year. He had 20 fantasy points week 1, and it looked like that was going to be the steal of the draft. He was suspended. He was elite with the Atlanta Falcons a few years ago. Comes in game 1, puts up 101 and a touchdown, and since then just hasn't done much. 1 fantasy point this past week against New Orleans. He was definitely clamped down on by those corners. You know, it's an interesting situation here. We'll see if Chick starts him next week. I know he's going to want to bench him and Is that the time he goes off? Like, this is what happens with fantasy purgatory players. You can't trade them, can't drop them, can't start them. Just got to kind of leave them there. And, you know, maybe he'll put together a couple of good games and give you some confidence to go ahead and put him back in the lineup. But tough week for Chick here. Better days ahead. Again, he's got the troops coming back. He had Jamar Chase on bye week, Nico Collins on bye. He just acquired DeAndre Hopkins from Taylor this past week in a nice trade. And he does have Khalil Herbert and James Conner on IR. So if he can get those boys back in just a few weeks, he'll be back to being very relevant. So better days ahead for Joe Chick. As far as records go, Zen Crusaders moves to 3-4. And all of a sudden, Sweet Chick Music finds himself a little bit closer to the Build-A-Bear Bowl at 2-5. All right, our next matchup is going to be Dixie Normus Gage taking on In the Hunt Elliott. And Elliott takes the win 119-104. These two were at the Buffalo and New England game this past weekend. So to add insult to injury for Gage and his Bills, Elliott, who was sitting right next to him in the stadium, gets the win against him. And let's take a look at Elliott's team. 119 points, really good point output here in a down week for most teams. And we could go any, there's a lot of good players here to pick from, but I'm going Mark Andrews at that tight end position to be able to score two touchdowns. And Lamar just looks really good. It looks like it just took a couple weeks for that that new offense to get going. And Lamar looks so good throwing from the pocket. And Mark Andrews is back to being his number one target. Four receptions, 63 yards, and two touchdowns. He just looks... Everything is back to normal as far as tight ends go. You got Travis Kelce back to number one. Mark Andrews, number two. You know, it's going to be a dogfight between the typical names, Hockenson and Kittle and Waller. I mean, and Goddard, throw Goddard in there too. Those are the big names that we all drafted pretty much in that order, and they're all just right back to where they belong, even after kind of a roller coaster start to the season. So Mark Andrews is going to be your stud. As far as your dud goes, nobody really, like, really killed you. I don't know what you expected from Sam Howell. Looks like Elliott might have a quarterback issue. If I had to look for a negative on your team, 9 fantasy points from Howell, 249 yards, no touchdowns. He had an interception in the loss against the Giants. So Sam Howell has proven, you know, he can put up some fantasy points. He's the QB 11 on the season. So technically he is a starting quarterback in fantasy football. But your other option is Deshaun Watson, who... You know, I don't know what's going on with him. He's just super banged up, and when he does play, he doesn't look himself. So Elliott might be looking to the waiver wire for a quarterback. We'll see what he does. Dixie Normus puts up 104 here. Triple digits, always good. Just wasn't enough. As far as your stud goes, A.J. Brown, my goodness. 10 for 137 and a touchdown. Back when I made the trade with him, you know, I traded him Kenneth Walker and Jerry Jeudy for Deebo Samuel and Javonte Williams. I was going hard after A.J. Brown. This was after A.J. Brown had two down weeks, and it was a squeaky wheel type of situation. And I saw this coming, and I wanted A.J. Brown, and he would not budge. He goes, I can give you Deebo. And ever since then, Deebo has just derailed my season. So, you know, nice job knowing and recognizing the situation there with A.J. Brown. 5 straight games with over 125 yards receiving. I heard that's like either tied or is the NFL record. I thought for sure there was a receiver out there that had accomplished this in years past. 125 yards, like a, you know, I thought... Definitely Cooper Kupp 2 years ago would have done that, but I guess not. So congrats to A.J. Brown, 24 fantasy points here. As far as your stud goes, Cole Kmet, not great. 0 for 0 for 0. So Cole Kmet gooses again, and that was a Bears win. Yeah, you know, maybe you just throw this game out. This is the tight end, the state of the tight end position, except for those top guys we mentioned a few minutes ago. Justin Fields wasn't in the game, so I think better days ahead for Cole Kmet, but he might be tied to Justin Fields rather than this Badgent kid. So, yeah, really kind of hurts you here as far as the tight end goes. So Gage is going to move to 4-3 on the season. And in the hunt, we talked about this early on in the season. He's a top team here. Still showing it, 6-1 heading into week 8. Congratulations. All right, our next matchup is going to be the Teddy Bears. Matty Rivers taking on Ball Too Well Taylor. And Matty takes the win, remains undefeated, 112-86. Let's take a look at his squad. His stud is going to be a trio of studs: Mike Evans, Michael Pittman Jr., and Jacoby Myers, all putting in more than 14 fantasy points. Jacoby, 14. We got Michael Pittman, 15 fantasy points. And Mike Evans, 17. All really good wide receiver twos in fantasy football. Their rankings: Jacoby Myers is the 14th. Wide receiver in fantasy football right now. Michael Pittman is the 16th, and Mike Evans is the 15th. So back to back to back in the season long rankings. These guys are awesome to have on your squad. Just to compliment Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is your dud this week. I'm taking the route that I did with Puka Nacua. Puka had a bad week last week, and I thought to myself, this is probably my one chance to go ahead and put him in the dud. So I'm going to do that with Cooper Kupp here. 2-29. Good for 5 fantasy points, 5.9. Did have a 2-point conversion here, but it was the Puka Nacua show. The Rams lost in a weird game against the Steelers. I don't know how the Steelers keep doing it, but they go on the road in LA and beat the Rams, and Cooper Kupp just wasn't involved. Had a couple drops as well. I saw the first part of the game, and he probably would have had a better stat line, probably 4-45. Something like that stat line, maybe 8 points, 9 points. But nonetheless, a down game for Cooper Kupp, and you still put up 112 points with Derrick Henry on a bye, Justin Fields injured, and Kyren Williams injured. So the Teddy Bears still gets it done. Ball Too Well Taylor had her chance last night, I'd say. She got what she needed from Christian McCaffrey, your stud, 21 fantasy points. Now, he did have a fumble in this game, and for the 49ers' purposes, he didn't look totally himself, I'd say, against that terrible Vikings defense, only 45 yards on the ground. He did get your 2 touchdowns, so that touchdown streak continues for Christian McCaffrey. She also had Alexander Mattison last night, who started off looking good, ripping off some runs in that very first quarter, but didn't do much after that. I'm not sure if he got banged up. I didn't watch the second half of the game, but it looks like Cam Akers is kind of slowly but surely creeping up as far as snap percentages and touches go in the backfield. So I'm going to have Alexander Mattison as her dud. You know, when she needed him most. Now, it would have been a lot to ask having Madison help put her over the top against Maddie last night. McCaffrey had 21. You know, she needed Madison to completely go off. So, a lot to ask, but still only putting up 5 fantasy points. Not great. Still just not getting touchdowns. Crazy. He has 1 touchdown on the year, and it's a receiving touchdown. I keep saying, like, touchdown regression is coming. There's no way that the Vikings can keep up this touchdown rate through the air, and yet we're at week 7, and they're still throwing touchdowns through the air. Eventually, it's going to have to go to the running backs just naturally. So I guess I could say better days ahead. Now you just don't know if the touchdowns are going to go to Alexander Mattison or Cam Akers as he slowly but surely creeps in on that starting running back position. We'll see moving forward. But nonetheless, Taylor moves to 4-3 on the season. Still positive vibes for her team. Had a lot of bye weeks and injuries. You know, T. Higgins on bye. Her GOAT, her MVP of the season, Adam Thielen, was on bye. And Roschon Johnson was injured last week. There's a chance he could be the lead guy for the Chicago Bears. moving forward. So I think her lineup next week will look a little bit more stout than it did this week. And the Teddy Bears, what can you say? 7-0. He wants to fly under the radar. Not a lot of chirping from this man. You know, he's going the humble route. That's no fun for fantasy, but I totally get it. You know, when you're 7-0, you don't want to rock the boat. And this is the exact same season that Alicia had last year, and she had an epic year. Let's see how far Maddie can go here. 7-0, and he's just performing very well as a first-year manager in Marvel. Congratulations. Our next matchup, the Pillar of Fire, Tom Beggs, taking on Yeeters Skeeters. And Tom takes the win. No Justin Jefferson, no problem. 121-90. This had very big implications, not only for Tom, but for Jason, who is obviously in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Tom making a run as a in the hunt type team. Sorry, I can't even use that term anymore because that's Elliott's team name. I should say a bubble team. He has a positive record now at 4-3. Let's take a look at his squad. He texted me before the Seattle Seahawks game and said, I want Jackson Smith and Jigba to be in consideration for my stud of the week. That was before he put up 4 receptions, 63 yards, and a touchdown. The breakout game for JSN, 14 fantasy points. So he will be in consideration for stud of the week. Maybe honorable mention, because there's no other stud that we need to talk about besides Deontay Foreman. 89 yards on the ground, 3 total touchdowns. I mean, the fact that he's catching balls to begin with, let alone a receiving touchdown, 3 catches, 31 yards, and a receiving touchdown to go along with 2 rushing touchdowns, 31 fantasy points. This is kind of no surprise. Anytime Deontay Foreman is the lead back for a football team, he's been performing very well. Last year when he was with the Carolina Panthers, anytime Chuba Hubbard was hurt, I used to call him Derrick Henry Light. He could rip off 100 yards any game. He just wasn't involved during the receiving game. Well, this week and on this team with the Chicago Bears, you have multiple injuries. Roschon Johnson, Khalil Herbert out. He was definitely the lead back for this game. It's almost predictable. And a great matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. Gets it done, 31.5 fantasy points. Moving on to Yeeters Skeeters. Oh boy, 90 fantasy points, and your boy Tua is going to be your dud. 10 fantasy points. Disappointing. Again, we're looking at the Dolphins. Are they for real? Are they frauds? They were deemed one of the best offenses in history through the first 6 weeks, and they go up and put up a dud. 216 yards through the air, 1 touchdown, 1 interception for Tua. When he holds onto the ball, his numbers steadily decrease, and kind of like the Zach Wilson effect. Zach Wilson's actually a pretty good quarterback when he gets the ball out in under 2 seconds. And Tua is the same way when the offense is structured in a way and the play design is perfectly executed and he can get rid of the ball. He's putting up massive numbers, and the Eagles stifled him, and he just was holding onto the ball, and it was turning into sacks, turnovers, and it just was terrible for the offense. The Dolphins couldn't get the run game going. So nonetheless, 10 fantasy points, not going to get it done from the quarterback position, especially when you went against Jalen Hurts. Mr. Tush Push, 3 total touchdowns for Jalen. Again, only 1 touchdown for Tua. If we had to pick a stud here, this is going to be maybe a farewell stud, because Jerome Ford, 74 rushing yards and a touchdown. Looks like he has it's called a low-grade high ankle sprain. So a little low-high here, but he's going to be out at least 2 to 4 weeks, it looks like. Maybe since they threw in that verbiage low-grade, maybe that's more on the 2-week side rather than the 3-week Saquon Barkley high ankle sprain. We'll see. You know, I'm no doctor, but we have a large sample size of ankle sprains now. We can kind of start looking into the future on how long these guys are going to miss. An ankle sprain is an ankle sprain. It's not like a concussion where you just never know. Usually the timetable is the timetable. So we might be, Jason might be without Jerome Ford for the coming weeks. Now, however, he has almost a complete Cleveland Browns offense on his fantasy squad. So he has the handcuff in Kareem Hunt, who does throw in two rushing touchdowns, only 31 yards on the ground. But it looks like Kareem Hunt's going to be thrusted into a premier role. So although he loses Jerome Ford, he gains Kareem Hunt. And he was starting them both along with Elijah Moore. So that shootout game actually really helped him. All three Browns played very well for him. But nonetheless, takes the loss here, moves to 1-6 on the year. Again, Pillar of Fire is right there, knocking on the doorstep, 4-3. Let's take a quick look at the power rankings, just some of the records and points lost. Points for, points against, I should say. Pillar of Fire moves to 4-3. Third in the division, tied for second, right there behind Gage. He's only 3 points behind Gage, so although they're tied, it's a very close matchup there. Obviously, Matty is running away with that division. As far as the Build-A-Bear Bowl goes, myself, Alicia, and Jason are all tied at 1-6. I am crushing it in points, which says my team is actually just underperforming still. As far as touchdowns goes, I have 663 points, while Alicia and Jason have 609 and 602. So I have more than just about a 60-point lead on those two, sitting at 1-6. So one more win for me could really start to protect myself. Now, Joe Chick has also found himself in the Build-A-Bear Bowl situation, but he's way up there in points. Not only does he have one more win than the three of us, he has 740 fantasy points. He is getting the short end of the stick. He has one of the highest point totals in the league, so that record's just not showing. He's getting very unlucky this year, like myself. So those are some of the standings and points for, points against, stuff like that. But nice matchup between Tom and Jason. And our final matchup of week 7 is going to be Greg's team taking on the chicken tendies, Josh Benoit. And Josh takes the win 98-71. Take a look at Josh's team. He had a great start from Christian Kirk on Thursday, 16 fantasy points. Looks like Christian Kirk is definitely the wide receiver to own in Jacksonville. He's completely overshadowed Calvin Ridley, which was completely flipped week one, which in the fantasy universe, stuff that happens week one sticks with us for so long that it becomes just kind of stagnant. It's like we still picture Calvin Ridley being a better fantasy option than Christian Kirk, even though Kirk has now put together 5-6 awesome weeks compared to Calvin Ridley. So Christian Kirk looks like the wide receiver one in Jacksonville, especially Zay Jones has been missing 3-4 weeks now. So just a great player, great fantasy option. But last night, how about Jordan Addison, the breakout party? He's had some, several good games this year. But in the absence of Justin Jefferson, to put up 7 for 123 and 2 touchdowns on that 49ers defense, good for 27 fantasy points. Didn't necessarily need it last night to beat Greg, but just the extra stamp. And, although you want to sneak a win against a team that only put up 71 points in Greg, you kind of, once you get the win, you want to start putting up some points too, because points do matter in the end game of the season. So I know Josh was probably very excited to have Jordan Addison on his squad. As far as your dud goes, oh man, it's got to be either Austin Eckler or Josh Jacobs. Maybe we just give it to both. Josh Jacobs, 4 fantasy points. Austin Eckler, 5. I'm just very thankful at this moment in time that Josh did not accept my trade offers. Tony Pollard for Josh Jacobs. I was doing everything possible. I probably would have lost my week if I had done that, because Josh Jacobs just couldn't get it done against the Chicago Bears defense. maybe better days ahead for him, but I just, how this Raiders team is just a shell of itself, and I think they were fooling themselves at 3-3 coming into the week, thinking that they're some sort of contender. You know, I'm not a delusional Jets fan. I love that the Jets are 3-3, but at least we have like a top 3-4 defense and an elite running game with Breece Hall being unleashed. You know, Raiders fans out there and the media, like, oh, they're right there, they're knocking on the door. It's like, what do the Raiders do well? Because I don't think they do anything well. I think they kind of have beaten bad teams, and it just so happens their record was 500, and I think you're just going to see a steady decline from here on out, especially with no Jimmy Garoppolo, who I don't think is scheduled to play this week if he had a major back injury. So do they keep trotting out Brian Hoyer? Was already a questionable decision for Josh McDaniels to do instead of putting in a young kid, young guy. The Bears put the young guy in and they won the game. So just goes to show you that was a mistake. But Josh's team, 98 points. Not bad. Not bad at all. Let's go over to Greg's team. 71 points. A very down week. We got to talk about Bijan Robinson. What a weird situation. I totally get it. He was not feeling well. It turns out it was more like headaches. And if you have a migraine of some sort, getting smashed in the head with a helmet on, probably not the best thing for you. But if we're agreeing that he wasn't feeling good and had a headache, why did his first carry in the game come in the fourth quarter? What? And somehow they won, by the way, the Atlanta Falcons, without Bijan. But it's just a weird scenario. If it's one thing to sit out the game last minute, but why is he even getting one carry? He got one carry for 3 yards. You know, did his headache get better? If it got better, why wasn't he getting more carries down the stretch? Just a weird dynamic. And we'll see if there's something else to this. Is there a doghouse situation? I didn't hear anything like that, but this is a strange one. I just haven't seen players miss because of headaches. And if they do miss, they're not usually suited up or get one carry. So hopefully better days ahead for Mr. Bijan Robinson. As far as your stud goes, there wasn't a lot to choose from, to be honest. But on National Tight End Day yesterday, and I'm sorry, Sunday, TJ Hockenson said, just because it's Monday and not National Tight End Day anymore, don't forget about me. 11 receptions, 86 yards. So he's taking that volume that Justin Jefferson has left, and Jordan Addison's taking the big play potential that Jefferson left. So they've kind of split that those duties up into two players, and no touchdown here, but 14 fantasy points from your tight end position is elite. And TJ Hockenson is the tight end 4 in fantasy football. Again, no surprise. All the tight ends are now placed exactly where they should be. It's cool to see. So if you want to predict something in fantasy football, it's those top tight ends this year. They're looking very predictable, and you know what you're going to get from them at this point. So Greg's team moves to 3-4 on the season, while Josh 6-1, a very quiet 6-1. Again, lost Nick Chubb, you know, picked up Devon Achane, lost him, had bye weeks this week with Chuba Hubbard out, DK Metcalf injured, and still gets the win. Gotta give credit where credit is due. Josh is just grinding out these victories, and he's doing a very good job here. So congratulations on a very good start to the season. That's going to do it for week 7. This is a strange week coming up in week 8. No bye weeks. This is the first time I can remember that during the middle of the season that there are no bye weeks. I could be wrong. Maybe this has happened before, but 6 bye weeks last week, 0 bye weeks this week, and I think we're back to 6 next week, something like that. So this is going to be a very fun week, because we're, besides injuries now, we're putting our best lineups on the table. I know I face off against Maddie. My team's been putting up points. I'm ready to roll. I think I'm ready to take down the number one team in the league. I did it with Alicia last year in the championship, and I haven't decided if I'm going to guarantee the win. That'd be a little fresh of me. But we'll see going forward. But It's going to be fun to start your lineups and not have to worry about bye weeks. No more Brandon Powells in my lineup. We're back to our full squad, Enjoy week 8. We'll see you on the other side. Thanks for listening, everybody.